Now it's 7:57. Today is the 3rd of November, 2015. So we still got another 13 minutes before we start our puja. There's a Jai Krishnamurti quote in front of you. There are two quotes. One is, all becoming is disintegration. The other one is, becoming is striving. So these two Jai Krishnamurti quote is like meant to be, and it's very important because it will help you to understand what he is trying to explain all this while. And you will be able to develop the clear understanding of what is becoming. And this word becoming comes from craving. When you have craving, desire. That's why craving got three types. Remember? What are the three types of craving? Bhava tanha is sensual craving. Then vibhava tanha is craving not to be. Then bhava tanha is craving to be or become. So that is becoming. So craving is the cause of suffering. So any of these three types of craving is called tanha. And Krishnamurti linked it to becoming, which is correct, because bhava tanha is to become something. Then vibhava tanha is the negative craving. You don't want to become that. You want to push it away. And living beings' problem is always these two, linked to desire. And it comes from sensual craving. Sensual craving, kama tanha, is also a very powerful craving. So when you understand that the reality, which is what is the most important understanding. If you can understand what is and come to terms with what is and accept what is, then don't try to project your thought. Don't try to arise any craving to become anything. Your mind will be beautiful. So that's what the Buddha's teaching is all about. Then Krishnamurti explained it in a very clear manner. You read through, you will know. Then later on, we can actually go into detail. These two quotes came about the last 2 days. Then actually there are four quotes. But I chose these two because they are very important. They are related. So all of becoming is disintegration. Then the other one is becoming is striving. And becoming come from craving. That is a very important understanding. I think Joyce is here. Hong Ah, Kui Ho Joyce.
Joyce,
little
ja.
Ah,
oh,
and this particular Jai Krishnamurti quote, after we finish, I will read to you the essential Dhamma of the Buddha at the end here is also related. So they are all connected. Okay, now you can read through. If you got any question, you can ask. We still got 10 more minutes. Use the mic, for the recording. Thanks, Susan.
Hello?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, brother dear.
Yeah, regarding bowing.
Bowing. I tried doing the standing and then stretching out.
Yes.
The mindfulness is better
established
that way.
Very good. Yes.
Compared to just bowing like
it's
that.
It's up to you. Whichever technique or method of bowing that is suitable, appropriate, you use it. Everyone is different. So whatever that is conducive, you just use. There is no hard and fast rule. You cannot fix anything because everyone is different. Yeah. So your question is what?
Which is better of the two?
Oh, okay. No, it's up to you, like I said. Whichever is more conducive, you do. Then when you do, if you do it through an understanding, you just don't try to know. You just do your bowing. When you do with the faith, the mind will settle down on itself. Then the moment you are in sati, the form and mind will know. Then like no thought on everything. Like everything is without thought, just like that. Then slow motion. No sound, but I like interpret it for you to understand. The moment your movement go down, your body and mind move as one. Then it's like slow motion, continuous. Without space, then it become a flow, Then when you come out, also same. There is no thought on. Then after that, you move your hand. You realize, the mind is with it. Then all of the movement within your body, the slightest movement is magnified, like very very major movement. That's why you become very mindful. You become very sensitive. Then that time your mind is very calm. Very clear. When it's in sati, it's very different. That's why I say don't try to know. Do until the sati come. Like swimming. Go and drink water. Make mistake. Swim until one day you suddenly know how to swim without having to hold on to the floor. Then you realize, no need to struggle. No need to fear that you are sinking. Because when you understand, you have faith, you just relax. Then allow the body to reach the natural state of balance, which is buoyancy. Because your body is lighter than water. So when you hit the buoyancy, the equilibrium, you will know. Then you realize, to swim is so simple. I just move my hand. Then the body go forward. When it's in equilibrium, you don't need to struggle. So meditation is the same. The silent mind is the true mind. It was like that all along. If you don't stir it, don't disturb it, don't create any thought, then it will be that silent mind, the meditative mind. Then you realize the moment you are silent without chattering, you are already aware. And that nature is so beautiful. Then you realize, no need to do all those so-called method technique and all those things. Those things are required when the hindrance are there. That's why you have to train. But when a spiritual faculty is there, all this is to be the hindrance. Then the mind is already in sati, it's already silent. Then the moment you sit, you are in the meditative state, you straight away talk. Then later on, in the midst of life, you are always in sati. That is the real meditation. But it's not easy. Initially, when you don't understand, it's not easy to do it. But when you understand, it's not difficult. So you understand? Sadhu. Initially, when you don't understand, it's not easy. But the moment you understand, it's not difficult. So you keep that in mind, that you understand. So when you do, you just have faith, sadha, virya, then you just do. Don't try to know. Even the four posture, the daily mindfulness, don't try to know. Don't try to direct anything. Just body and mind as one more. Then initially you need to think because you have to live life. You need to be aware. Understand? Then you need to perceive. You need to develop clear understanding of the traffic, everything. So later on, it will become a new way of living life. This is called the heedful way. The heedful way is you're just aware. Aware, perceive, then move. Understand? Then your mind is always with the phenomena, with full, clear comprehension of what is going on. And you are very, very alert and very clear. And you understand what is going on very fast. You don't go and worry anymore. You just maintain clarity of mind. And you just live. Then no need to go and worry and think or project your thought. So this Krishnamurti code is very important. After when I explain, you will know. Yeah, everything is just the way it is, like the Buddha said. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. Based nature's condition like that, things will be like that. That's why things is just the way it is. The reality of the moment is already established. That is what Krishnamurti called what is the reality. So what is a reality. You cannot go against the reality. Like now things happen already. You cannot say, I don't want to have this thing happening because it will cause me suffering. It will cause me unhappiness. So what you do? You have craving. You want to change what is. That is where the delusion is. You want to become otherwise. Just like the example in the quote. He said, when you realize that you have anger or you are violent, then you have this wrong view or wrong idea. Where people tell you, when you have greed, when you have craving, when you are violent, you are evil. Understand that? So what you want to do? You want to change over to be non-violent. Then you want to suppress and control your anger. You don't want to get angry. That is becoming. Because the reality is, without wisdom, before you understand, there will be anger. And there will be this desire to become something. But the moment you understand, there is no more such thing. Because these are all not reality. These are all projection of mind. The mind got desire to become the opposite of it. Thinking that when I am non-violent, I already passed the test. Or I already progress. Non-violent is a concept, is an idea created by your thought. And it's another becoming. Whether you are violent or non-violent, it's a becoming. So the Krishnamurti says, you must see the activity of the self, the ego, the personality. When you can see that, you will awaken. But that one is the egoic mind. The Sakaya Ditti, self-delusion. That's why Ajahn Chah say, don't try to be an Arahant. Don't try to be anything. The moment you can accept what is, you are at peace. Then the mind will not seek anasana. That's why you don't go and create all this becoming. Don't try to become anything. Just silent, observe. Why the form and mind behave this way? Because of wrong view. Because of the lack of understanding. What is the reality? You have to come to terms with the reality. It cannot be otherwise. And then you can become like at peace with the reality. And then you can act. Then the acting is with understanding, with wisdom. No more a mind that crave. No more a mind that want to become this or that. That's how the mind can free and liberate. Later on, we will go into this. Okay, now we can start the puja. So today, who's done? Who else haven't light the candle and the incense? Everybody light before. So maybe we will get Jin Hao. Jin Hao long time haven't light. Jin Hao and I forgot her name again. What's your name again? Ah, me, your mother. Ask your mother to come out. Then we choose. How many candles? 1, 2, 3. Oh, we got 3, so I can choose one more. Maybe we get Alicia. Come. Come. The 3 of you, come. Right. Gang Hao, puja about to start. You can put your thing, can? Three. Hui Rong is back. Sadhu. Come. The May's mother. Ni tiên rất là chú. You like this candle. Okay. Then Alicia. Come, Alicia. Off the fan, Jin Ho. Hui Rong, lai. Ni gần N. N, come. Come and like. Phang zhe bian, sorry. ni like. Zhe ge zhong jian de. Then N like the other two. Okay. I am like this one. Then like that one. Two. Okay, right? How tang, Tilt a bit, tilt a bit. Okay. Like, what then? Okay, we can start the puja now. Jin Hao, you offer the tray. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, right? Okay, right? The rest all offered before. Yeah. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Oh, we hear. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you. You all can be seated. Eh? Then we will pay respect to Triple Gem. We will recite the salutation. Okay, compose your mind. Eh? Develop the faith. Sadhana and Virya. Then we will start the Puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Âm Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Âm Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Âm Bồ Tát. Namo Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Namo Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Namo Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Namo Mi Lo Pho Bồ Tát. Namo Mi Lo Pho Bồ Tát. Namo Mi Lo Pho Bồ Tát. Namo Pho Bồ Tát. Namo Pho Bồ Tát. Namo Pho Bồ Tát. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango sanghang namami. Okay. You can be seated, then turn the page for your chanting book. Then we will start the chanting. Okay, there is a last offering by Yuan Chan. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you can turn to page 4 of the chanting book. Then we will start the official puja chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu mitachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the patipa puja, offering of light. Ganda sarapaditena Dipena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Ujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dupena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyangtang Puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kasuma santatin Pujayami monindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kasumena nena Punnena matena cha ho tu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasabhavang Adivase tu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigang hatu mutamang. Okay, turn to the last page, page 18. We will chant the puja aspiration. Based on the understanding of the significance of all this offering, understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May all morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, which is perfect in wisdom and virtue. significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. You can be seated. Then just relax yourself, body and mind. Then we will have our meditation. We will have half an hour of sitting or lying down meditation, depending on whatever posture that suits you. For those who are new, remember to read the blue book. If you don't have, you can ask for a copy. The book is based on the title, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by Lord Buddha. It is based on one of the Thursday class, typical sharing. It's a transcript dated 12 September 2013. It's a very good sharing. And most of the important understanding are there. So if you really want to understand, you go back and read the blue book. Then for those who are here, who know how to meditate, you can straight away go ahead to develop your meditation. If you need to train your mind to help you overcome the heedlessness or the five mental hindrance, then you can use the appropriate skillful means. The most appropriate and useful one is the mind sweeping method combined with metta. This one will very quickly help you to calm your mind down, to develop the silence, because you just feel and relax. You don't think anymore. So it will decondition your heedless thinking very, very fast. Then after that, you use the mind to sweep from the forehead down to your leg. It also trains your mind to be at the location you want it to be, and you train it to feel no more thinking. Then train it to relax, which is the first support of meditation. So when you do that, your mind settles down very fast. Then you combine with loving kindness, metta, that can bring about inner well-being. The mind sweeping method will bring about inner peace, inner tranquility and stillness. Then this inner well-being will develop the mind further. So the first two good advantages of meditation is this meditation can allow your mind to develop inner peace, leading to inner well-being. Then it will bring forth a lot of positive energy, which is love, metta, loving kindness, universal love. Then your mind state become very pure, very wholesome, full of love, then you radiate all this love out, starting with yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness deep within you. Then after that you can radiate. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind state too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then you can radiate and recite, may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within my heart. So in this way, you develop a lot of inner well-being, good mindful states, good wholesome state of mind, and all these are very conducive to prepare the mind, so that this mind can settle down, can develop the inner peace, the inner well-being to meditate. Then for those who already know how to develop all this, if your spiritual faculty are already quite stable, you can skip this process. You can straight away go into the meditation. When your spiritual faculty are there, the hindrance of mind are no more around. That's why you straight away can relax, silent, and just sit and maintain mindfulness. Then the silent mind is there, automatic. If it's not stable, means you have to stable that silent mind through a skillful means. It can be anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then you develop that anapanasati. But if you already develop, then you can just stay there silent and develop awareness of this in and out breath. Then not long, that breathing will become very subtle, very still, like no more breathing. When you reach that state, you just relax further into it. Don't panic, don't go and do other things, don't verbalize anymore. You just silent and maintain awareness. This will allow you to train your mind to develop the higher mindfulness, the more refined sati, which will accumulate into samadhi and finally pasati. Pasati is a very quiet mind, a very tranquil, still mind, or we call it the silent mind, the meditative mind. That is the ultimate of all mental training. So when you have that, then you can meditate. When that silence develops, you will be very sensitive. Wherever you locate your mind, the awareness will be there, you will pick it up. Even the subtle breathing, the very subtle movement within your abdomen, you will feel them. You don't need a stethoscope. Even your heartbeat, when you stay around your heart area, you will feel them. Then you will start to develop awareness over all the movement, the vibration, everything. Then when you continue to silence, you will understand how you function as a human being, how your form and mind interact, how your senses, the five physical senses together with the mind, upon contact, what happened. You will see them clearly, not through knowledge or theory, but actual experiencing them without words, without knowledge or concept or idea. It is just that reality. Then you can relate later on when you come out of the meditation. That's how you develop wisdom, understanding of the essential Dhamma and the whole process of form and mind. All this you will come to understand. The teaching will become very clear to you. You just need to train this mind so that it is mindful, leading to heedfulness. When it's heedful, it's ever mindful to understand the essential Dhamma, the teaching, to insight into phenomena, to awaken into the three characteristics of nature, to develop self-knowledge, to understand who you are, what you are, and what this five aggregate of form and mind is all about, then you will understand the final summary of the First Noble Truth. Why the Buddha said, in short, it is due to your self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind that he calls suffering or dukkha. The grasping aggregate are called upadana khandas. Khandas are aggregate, upadana are grasping. The moment you deludedly grasp and cling onto them, thinking that they are you, that is self-delusion, sakkayaditti. That's how you create the personality, the ego, the I and the me. Therefore, you will want to own things, possess things. That's why you call it, all this can be mine. The I, the me, and the mind is the result of this egoic mind, the ego, the personality. And you have to meditate to understand this clearly. Okay, I will allow you to continue your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 to 20 minutes. who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those seven now, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. I will ring the bell now. Page 6, we will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta chakavalesu atragacantu devata saddhamman muni rajasa Sunantu sakamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacharana Sampanno Sugato Kavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditabu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sango Yadidang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkeneyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 If you will pay respect to the Triple Gem, Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pucchami. Sanghang Pucchami. Okay. Before we start the Diamond Sutta, we will go through another two Jai Krishnamurti Delikot. Like I explained just now earlier, some of you may not have arrived. This Jai Krishnamurti code are very important because they will complement the earlier codes. Then this code hopefully will let you understand in more detail what Krishnamurti is trying to explain to you about the self, the activity of the self, and why is it so similar to the teaching of the Buddha. The only difference is he used English words, which are more towards the daily living, towards the modern world, the modern civilization. According to Theravada teaching, which is the orthodox tradition of the Buddha's teaching, which are very accurately preserved and still very close to what he actually taught, because most of them are committed to chanting and pass down, so there are very little chance of error. But the understanding of the teaching has been difficult because what has been passed down are only the words through chanting. The interpretation of it has become a problem. But like all essential teachings, the original content is still there. So like in the first Noble Truth and the second Noble Truth, we always heard about this important cause of suffering, which is craving leading to becoming. And the three types of becoming, they are very important. You have the three types of craving leading to the three types of becoming. The three types of craving, which is tanha, like we went through earlier on. The first one is sensual desire, which is kama tanha. This word kama is kama. The meaning is sensual. Whereas the other word karma is the law of karma, that type of karma, cause and effect, moral causation. So these two words are different. That's why in the three world, the 31 plane of existence, the Buddha subdivide into three planes of existence. They have the sensual world, kama loka, loka is world. Then you have the form world, rupa loka. Then you have the formless world called arupa loka. So similarly, tanha got three. First one is within the sensual realm, we have kama tanha, craving born of the sense desire, so it's called sensual craving. Then you have bhava tanha, means craving to be. Then vibhava tanha, craving not to be. So these are the positive and negative craving to become something. So this becoming is the cause of suffering, born of craving, born of desire. That is from the Buddha's teaching. Now, Krishnamurti code actually describe it in different language and words, but the meaning is exactly the same. So, if you have a copy, you turn to the first page. Those who don't have, you can collect it from Padmasuri. All becoming is disintegration. So this one is a very important title, the first code. The second code is becoming is strifeful. So I will get Sister May to help us to read. Read the first quote.
The mind has an idea, perhaps pleasurable, and it wants to be like that idea, which is a projection of your desire. You are this, which you do not like, and you want to become that, which you like. The ideal is a self-projection. The opposite is an extension of what is. It is not the opposite at all, but a continuity of what is, perhaps somewhat modified. The projection is self-willed, and conflict is the struggle towards the projection. You are struggling to become something, and that something is part of yourself. The ideal is your own projection.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So this paragraph is very important. I hope you all can develop the understanding. How many of you cannot understand what is being spoken just now? Everybody understand? Oh, very good. So no need to explain. But roughly you understand it. Okay, now we go into it as a discussion. That will be better. The title is All Becoming is Disintegration. You know what is becoming now in there. Like you are born into this world. So the first becoming is what? You have a personality. They give you a name, an identity. So you become that form of mind. Understand? And that form of mind take out an entity. Then later on you grew up. You become what? You become a boy. Or a girl or a child. Then you go to school, you become a student. Then you go to university, you become an undergraduate. Then when you graduate and go to work, you become a professional or an office worker. Then you are an engineer, you become an engineer. If you are a doctor, you become a doctor. Then you are a lawyer, accountant, you become that thing. Then later on in the career field, as you work for people, you get promoted to certain job scope, or they call it your destination. So you become a maybe from rank and file, technician, then senior technician, or technical assistant, then you become a engineer or an officer. Then from the officer, you get promoted to a manager. Then senior manager, then maybe become vice president, then finally president, CEO and COO, and now they got CIO, a lot of title. So a lot of people, as they go through life, they crave to become something, understand? They crave for promotion, they crave for identity, they crave to become well-known, famous, even in the athletic field, in the games field. They want to become world champion, recognized. Then they want to become professionals. So all these are the various stages and type of becoming that living being crave for. So it comes from craving. When you crave to become something, that craving is a desire, is the cause of suffering. That's why Ajahn Chah say, don't try to become an arahant, because that is a craving. To become an arahant is a becoming, is a craving, and that is delusion. So all this, you will start to understand. Then after fighting so hard to get promotion, when you are promoted to the CEO position, or COO, or CIO, that high position, then you realize, is a hot seat. Everybody is fighting for that single post up there, and the best can only deserve it. So there is a lot of politics, a lot of infighting. Then you realize it's a very, very hot seat, full of pressure, full of stress. Then what happened? You don't want that position. You say enough is enough. So craving not to be. So all these are various forms of craving. But as long as it's a craving, it is still something that will cause you pain. Understand? No? Whether craving to be or not to be, it still brings about suffering, pain. So this is what the Buddha meant. Then we see what Krishnamurti said. He said, the mind has idea. What is idea? Huh? You know what is idea, isn't it? Huh? Something that your thought project, isn't it? You come out with an idea, isn't it? An idea is not a reality yet, no? Understand? No? An idea is a thought telling you, no? Hey, we can become very wealthy, isn't it? We can become very rich, isn't it? Then the idea will try to tell you some more thing. No? If I don't work for people, means I can become my own boss. And then I make money faster, like what Robert Kiyosaki said. So this is an idea. Then what you do is, that idea is your own thoughts projection. So you project. You want to be wealthy, you want to be rich, you want to be successful. Then you believe you don't want to work for people. You want to have your own business. Or you have your own, what they call, opportunity. Means you don't want to work for people under somebody. You want to make your own money through a projection of thought that give you the idea. So with that idea, you have a goal. Then what you do? You have that craving to achieve that goal. Understand? Then you strive on very hard. Yeah? You do all sorts of funny things. Some don't follow nature's law. They try to do shortcut. They try to backstab people, cheat themselves through various crooked means to achieve. The moment they achieve, they thought they are very happy. But when their crime came to be known, they will be charged for CBT and all those things. Then they will be prosecuted again. They land themselves into trouble. But even if you work very hard, go through the right way, then you achieve. Then you realize a hot seat. Then you realize there is no life when you are in that position. You have to work very hard, spend a lot of hours. Then there's a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. Then you realize it's not worth the salary. Then you got different idea again. The idea keep on changing. So Krishnamurti here say the mind has an idea, perhaps pleasurable, something that you desire, and it wants to be like that idea. Understand? Which is not a reality yet. Understand? Which is a projection of your desire, your craving, your desire to become that one which your thought tell you is much better than what you are now here. Which tells you at the moment you are not good. The thought will project and tell you that state, that becoming will make you much better. Then you believe that thought. Then you crave for it. That's why Krishnamurti said, you are this, which you do not like. Correct or not? Correct or not? I am poor. I don't like to be poor. We are poor people, a lot of problem. Cannot even find a 3 meal or proper shelter over their head. Sometimes they owe people a lot of money. They find it very difficult to pay their bills or their debts. So all this is humanity's problem as you go through life, as you confront life. Then sometimes, as a student in school, you have the same problem. I want to be intelligent, smart. I want to top the class because my parents expect me to do well. So you got parental pressure, peer pressure. But then, in the class of 50, let's say, or 40, there can only be one top student. Then the rest have to take their position accordingly. So there is a lot of competition, a lot of striving, craving to become top student, or to become somebody very, very distinguished and established in life. So all this is what Krishnamurti say, you are this which you do not like, and you want to become that which you like. Then what happened? This idea is a self projection. Agree or not? Your thought project. So it's not a reality yet. Then what happened? The opposite is an extension of what is. You understand? I am poor. I want to be wealthy. So that wealthy is an extension of what you are now, understand? But you cannot accept what you are now. You are poor. You project a thought and say you want to be rich or wealthy. This one actually is not the opposite of poor. To you, you may think it's the opposite. But it's actually another thought's idea, projection. But the thought that believe you are poor is also a thought, also an idea. Understand? Then you want to change that to another thought, another idea. So it's not the opposite. It's actually another projection. So what happened? It is not the opposite at all. The opposite is an extension of what is. So it is not the opposite at all, but a continuity of what is. So means what? You become again. The becoming continue, understand? You never stop changing, understand? You never stop becoming, understand? You become this, then you're not happy, you want to become that. Understand? Life, there are a lot of examples. When you marry a girl or your spouse because you have certain reason to marry, understand? Then when you are already not happy with the spouse or sian now, they say boring already, understand? No more like before, so much of this craving or desire or the love. So like food, every day you eat, nothing special. First time never eat before, wow, very nice. Then you crave. So what happened is, when this happened, you change your desire, understand? Then you want another one, understand? My wife or my spouse is no longer like before. Last time I thought very handsome, got a lot of potential, rich man's son, but now the family business failed, no longer rich. Then no longer handsome, then got a lot of negative character, and then you have a different projection, a different idea. Why I so stupid married to him? Anybody out there is much better. So what happened? You crave not to be become the wife of this person. So there is conflict, understand? Then you argue. Then you just want to get out of that position. So Krishnamurti put it in a very simple word so that you can understand. The self-projection, which you think is the opposite, is actually not the opposite. It's an extension of what is the reality at this moment, but a continuity of what is. So perhaps somewhat in a modified form, understand? Krishnamurti said. So it's an extension actually. It's not the opposite. It's not a solution. So what happened is, the projection is self-will. There is a desire. You will it, understand? You wanted it. You crave for it. And conflict is the struggle towards that projection. Krishna. Whatever you want, you cannot achieve yet. It's not a reality, it's just an idea, understand? When you cannot get what you want, what happened? What happened? When you cannot get what you want? You become miserable. Especially those who want to be top, to be the CEO, because there's only one position, understand? And a lot of people is going to fail and become very disappointed. Even world champion, every year or every tournament, there's only one. And there's a lot of people who will be disappointed. You look at our Lee Chong Wei, Dato Lee Chong Wei, you know. So earlier on, most of the World Series, he will end up in the final. Then some, he became the champion. But then as age catches up, what happened? Of course, recently he became world champ again. But earlier on round, what happened? First round, knockout. by a relative unknown. So all this is part and parcel of the reality of life. So when you understand this, then you will come to this understanding. The projection is self-will, and conflict is the struggle towards that projection. You are struggling to become something, and that something is part of yourself. The ideal is your own projection, where you got certain ideal, understand? You want to become that, so that you think once you achieve that, you will be happy. But then that craving is unending. After you achieve, you find out it's not what you think. Then you have another goal, another craving, understand? Then where does it end? You are never at peace. You are constantly chasing after becoming. Then that becoming is a cause of suffering, because you have to struggle towards it. Okay, next paragraph, you read on. Yeah.
See how the mind has played a trick upon itself? You are struggling afterwards, pursuing your own projection, your own shadow. You are violent, and you're struggling to become non-violent, the ideal. But the ideal is a projection of what is, only under a different name. When you're aware of this trick that you have played upon yourself, then the force as the force is seen. The struggle towards an illusion is the disintegrating factor. All conflict, all becoming is disintegration.
Very good. Okay. Sadhu. So this paragraph gives you the answer. Now you can follow. Krishnamurti says, see how the mind had played a trick upon itself. You are struggling after words that your thought create through idea. You are pursuing your own projection, which is not a reality yet. Your own shadow. Then he gives you the example. You are violent and you are struggling to become non-violent. Means what? You are trying to behave otherwise. Understand? But that character in you, which is the violent, it will never change. Understand? You may try to become non-violent or non-angry, because you use suppression. Understand? As long as you don't understand, as long as you don't have wisdom and right view, as long as you don't see yourself behaving that way, that reality which is what is, if you don't understand, and you want to escape from what is through the opposite, you will have suffering. This is what Krishnamurti said. You are violent and you are struggling to become non-violent. The ideal. But the ideal is a projection of what is. It is not the real thing. Understand? Only under a different name. You call it non-violent. But it's still a craving to become non-violent. Understand? First, you realize that you are a violent person. Then you want to become non-violent. So that is a craving. That is a desire. So both are actually craving. But you cannot see. Because out of wrong view, violent means you are selfish. You got evil root. That's why you can become violent. That's why you can kill. You can harm. But one thing to become non-violent is a suppression of that violent. You try not to become the previous one. Understand? But your delusion is still there. You cannot actually do away with your previous projection or your previous condition or state that you are in. So you give it another name. You want to become non-violent, but that behavior cannot develop what you want, and it cannot bring about a transformation or a change. It's just like meditation. After you go retreat, you did so much of this meditation, you strive so hard, so you thought you have achieved, you have realized something. Then you come out of the retreat, you go back to daily life. Then you realize you still got the evil roots. You still can have emotion, anger, fear, sorrow and lamentation when condition is not appropriate or right. Then what happened? You realize all this you have done, does not change you, then you want to go back to retreat again, believing that one day you will become enlightened, then all this will be gone. So you continue to struggle and strive, not understanding that both the state are just the way it is because you have not developed the appropriate meditation, the appropriate understanding. So becoming is the cause of suffering because you want to become enlightened. So you go to retreat. You do all those meditation without understanding, thinking that by doing all this, one day you will become enlightened. That one day never come, because you don't understand. Then that craving to be enlightened is a craving. That's why you cannot realize it. But the moment you understand that the reality is the reality, you don't have to crave, and then the meditation becomes different. The moment you understand this form of mind, there is nobody inside there to meditate. There is no effort, nothing. And then the eternal, like the previous quote, the timeless, it just manifests. Understand? Because you don't crave anymore. There is no personality inside there. The thought is not active. Because you can come to terms with that reality. That anger is not me, it's a condition arising state of mind. I don't have to become non-anger. Understand? I don't have to do anything. I don't have to meditate. I just allow things to be. I just let things be. Then the mind becomes quiet, peaceful. And then the extraordinary, which is the timeless or the eternal, it just manifests. Because there is no more craving. Understand or not? So this is the answer to life. This is what you have to understand. So now I will read on. Hopefully, you can develop the understanding. The ideal. But the ideal is a projection of what is, only under a different name. When you are aware of this trick that you have played upon yourself, then the false as the false is sin. Understand? Means you realize that craving is the cause of the mind's movement, mind's activity, the self, the ego never die. Understand? Where it's still fighting, struggling, want to become this, want to become that. As long as the self is active, the egoic mind is active, you can never realize the timeless. As long as there is still Sakaya Ditti, self-delusion, the ego will be there. The mind cannot cease. You cannot realize the enlightenment. So is that clear? Huh? No need to do anything. The real meditation is just silent. Nobody inside there. No need to arise any effort. That's like the silent mind. The pure awareness, choiceless awareness. That's why the silent, choiceless awareness of what is the real meditation. Then when you understand all this through that meditation, then you are no longer deluded by the thought's projection. Then thought ceases its power to project and create all those becoming, all those ideas. Wanting to become what? Wanting to become enlightened, wanting to become famous. All these are ego craving. Born of desire, Sakaya Ditti, self-delusion. So this one is very important. When you are aware of this trick that you have played upon yourself, then the false as the false is seen. Means you see clearly, like the Buddha said, craving is the cause of suffering. Craving is the cause of becoming, and all becoming is the movement of thought. When thought is active, you can never realize the eternal or the timeless. The mind can never cease. That's why meditation is about training the mind to have spiritual faculty so that you can just be aware without thought. So that you can realize the state which is beyond thought, beyond time. So the struggle towards an illusion, you know what that illusion is? Yeah? The thought's projection is an illusion, is it? Not a reality yet, is it? I am poor, I want to be rich or wealthy. I am violent, I want to become non-violent. I am deluded, I want to be wise. I am unenlightened, I want to be enlightened. Both are craving. So you cannot. So the struggle towards that thought projection, which is an illusion, is the disintegrating factor. Now you see how you actually delude yourself through that idea. And you struggle and work very hard towards it. You meditate so hard to become enlightened. As long as there is craving, there is becoming, it can never happen. So all conflict, all becoming is disintegration. You will disintegrate. You know what is disintegration? Huh? You become like disintegrate until no more. Gone. Yeah. So this is the cause of suffering. So all this is very important. Okay, we move on to the next paragraph. May you read on.
When there is an awareness of this trick that the mind has played upon itself, then there is only what is. When the mind is stripped of all becoming, of all ideals, of all comparison and condemnation, when its own structure has collapsed, then the what is, which is the reality, has undergone complete transformation. As long as there is the naming of what is, there is relationship between the mind and what is. But when this naming process, which is memory, and the very structure of the mind is not, then what is not. In this transformation alone, is there integration.
Good, thank you. So now you understand, the answer is in this paragraph. So now we will discuss this. When there is an awareness of this trick that the mind has played upon itself, then there is only what is. What is what is? What is the reality of the moment, isn't it? That's why I always tell you, do not go against the reality. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises in life, there are causes and conditions behind. And this one follows nature's law, cannot change. Understand? So you have to come to terms with it, accept that reality. Then what happened? Then only you are at peace, understand not? Otherwise you are struggling, understand not? You start to worry and project your thought. Ah, yo, I told you not to drive carelessly, you drive carelessly. Now accident, how? These are all not reality. The reality is accident already. That is the reality. So from there, calm yourself down. Don't react. Don't stir your mind. Don't project. And don't do all this foolish thing. Then do what you have to do. Understand not? And resolve things amicably according to that reality. If you start scolding, yelling, and complaining, is that a reality? That is all your thoughts projection. Because you couldn't accept what is, what happened. That's why you have so much desire, craving, projection, and reaction, and stirring of mind, without you knowing. And you say you're Buddhist. Eh? The Buddha say, first noble truth, final summary. Eh? In short, it is through your self-delusion, that condition, your grasping, your clinging and your craving, that is the cause of suffering. This is the second noble truth. The cause of suffering is craving. And yet, every moment when you react to sense experience, you create craving. Understand not? You create becoming. And you don't see it. And this is the cause of suffering. That's why you complain, you project your thought, you get angry, you tell people, oh, no point. It's not a reality. That is your form and mind with delusion behaving like that. The reality is happen already means happen. So what is very important. So Krishnamurti here give you a very important pointer. He said, when there is an awareness of this trick that the mind has played upon itself, then there is only what is. Understand? Then you have to confront that moment, that reality. Then you don't have a problem anymore. Correct or not? Means accident happened. Happen already. That is the reality. I scold my wife, no use. I scold the fellow, also no use. Understand? Now we sit down with a clear mind, resolve it. How to resolve it amicably so that both can move on. And that is the solution. Understand? Don't go and argue over what happened. Don't try to be right. Don't try to be wrong. These are all becoming, craving. So with that, Krishnamurti say, then there is only what is. So when the mind is stripped of all becoming, means what? You no longer project, stir, and want to do anything. you just accept the reality. Then this mind become very different. When the mind is stripped of all becoming, of all the idea that thought has created, of all the comparison and condemnation, means the scolding and all those things and the stirring of the mind. When its own structure has collapsed, means what? Then the what is, which is the reality, has undergone complete transformation. Means that reality has transformed you. Understand not? Means you understand where you only observe. You don't do all those things anymore. Then you realize life is very simple. When I come to terms with the moment, with the reality, at that moment, I got no problem. Understand not? Clear not? Do you have a problem? But this is nature's law, like the Buddha said. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. It has to be this way, no other way. So I don't have a problem in that. That's why I say, you accept whatever happened. Do not react, do not stir your mind, and do not project your thought. Means don't go and worry about it. Accept that moment, that reality. Then what you do? With the clarity of mind, because you are not behaving like before. You don't worry, you don't panic, your mind is calm. Your mind has clarity. Then you ask yourself, what actually happened? What actually happened? The reality. Accident happened already. Or let's say relationship problem. Your spouse has decided he wants to divorce you. If you accept the reality, then you can come to terms with that reality. Then you can, from there, act and move. It doesn't mean you agree to what he do or he say. Understand not? Somebody can be at fault, but it's not important. The reality is he has made that choice, that decision, or accident happened already. Then I ask myself, with a calm mind that has clarity, what actually happened? And then I can figure out, understand, why my spouse make that decision. Understand not? Then I don't try to justify. Understand? I just observe that reality. Then I know whatever that has happened in the past has contributed to this. Then if I understand all this, there is a nature's law that governs life and existence, which Krishnamurti never explained, but the Buddha explained, then you have the answer to the solution. You know what you need to do. You have to ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness. If you need to repent, you repent. If you need to avoid all evil, do good, so that in future when you come, you will not have to confront all this anymore. And then you resolve it amicably. It means you tell yourself, how can I move forward from here? How can I resolve this amicably so that there is no negativity, so that I don't hurt people and I myself will not get hurt? So you apply Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is incapable of negativity. This one also Krishnamurti never teach. But Krishnamurti knew one thing. If he stays silent and come to terms with that reality, he's at peace. Understand? But he is not trying to analyze how to be at peace. Understand? But the Buddha has the teaching that can allow you to develop the wisdom to straighten your view, not to become like that. But Krishnamurti's way is because he see it very clearly. He said, no point. Think also like that. Don't think also like that. Don't try to analyze. To Krishnamurti is finish. Understand? That's it. Don't try to do anything. That's it. Then he move on. Understand? So this part is very important. He has undergone complete transformation. As long as there is the naming of what is, you finish already. Understand? You name what is means what? Now I am violent. You name it. So now I am poor. I am stupid. How come I so child one? All this is naming. Because the ego is there. The identity is there. The craving to become otherwise is there. That's why you labor. I am still very deluded. I am still very heedless. So what happened? Yeah, you created your becoming. You name it. So the moment you name it, as long as there is the naming of what is, there is relationship between the mind and what is. Then what happened? Yeah? The mind is what? The mind is the observer, understand? Observer and the observe. Understand? You go and separate the two, understand? The observer and the observer is one. You are that, understand? That's why the form and mind, which is deluded, when the mind stir, anger is conditioned arising. But the anger is not separate from you, understand? That's why the thought go and separate and say, I have anger, understand? Who is the I? The fire aggregate of form and mind, understand? And anger is never apart from the observer, which is the fire aggregate of form and mind. Understand? That's why in the seeing consciousness, there is no one to see. But through delusion, what happened? You separate that seeing, understand? And that seeing become an entity separate from what it is observing. Understand? So the observer and the observed separate. That's why there is conflict. So when you separate means what? The observer say, I have anger, understand? Because it's separate. But actually the observer is the fire aggregate of form and mind, understand? And the anger is the content of consciousness, understand? So the observer and the observer is actually one. They are never separated. But because of delusion, sacrality, you separate the two. That's why you have the mind say, I don't want to become this. Understand? I want to become otherwise. But how can you separate? Because the observer is the observed. Understand? Without wisdom, it will become like that. And that one is no different from you, no? Understand? The anger is what the fire aggregate of form and mind is. When there is delusion, it will stir and it become like that. So the observer and the observed is one. It's not separate entity. That's why the Buddha say, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. When you have that understanding, this becoming disintegrate. Then you see the reality. Then you see anger is condition arising, not me. Understand not? Understand not? It is the form and mind, condition arising. When there is no wisdom, it will become like that. Then you realize, hey, that is the reality, not me. That's why your mind free, liberate, understand? Then you don't have to do anything. But if you think that guy is you, you will have problem with it. Because you want to be perfect. You want to become enlightened. You want to become non-violent. That's why the constant struggling towards that projection of thought, which is wrong view, sakkayaditi, is the cause of suffering. Understand? That one is the projection. That one is the creator craving. That's why the house builder, I have seen you. That's why when the false is seen as the false, then sakkayaditi ceases to be. Then that egoic mind ceases to be. The I and the me ceases to be. Then everything returns to normalcy. Then what happened? We read on. As long as there is naming of what is, there is relationship between mind and what is. Means separate. Eh? Mind is the observer. The what is, the reality is the observer. So there is separation. There is relationship. Means you separate them. But when this naming process, which is memory, see? Thought is respond to memory. Remember? Yeah. This naming process is your conditioning, your memory. The very structure of that mind. That is your conditioned mind. Understand? If this structure is not, then what is not. Understand? Means no more labeling, no more word. You see things as they are. In this transformation alone, there is integration. There is understanding. Means you see the whole complete picture, the wholeness. Then no more problem. Can follow on? Cannot follow, next code will make you understand. Becoming is strife. You pronounce as strife full of strife. Huh? Strife, huh? Or strife, huh? What is the meaning? Conflict, pain, struggle, Okay, read on. May read on. Becoming is strife.
Becoming is strife. Life as we know it, our daily life, is a process of becoming. I am poor and I act with an end in view, which is to become rich. I'm ugly and I want to become beautiful. Therefore, my life is a process of becoming something. The will to be is a will to become at different levels of consciousness in different states in which there is challenge, response, naming and recording. Now this becoming is strife, this becoming is pain, is it not? It is a constant struggle. I'm this and I want to become that.
So now you understand, huh? You understand becoming very clearly. He put until so clear you still cannot understand him. Means susah. So becoming is strife. Life as we know it, our daily life is a process of becoming. Agree with the sentence? I am poor and I act with an end in view. Means what? Which is to become rich. I'm ugly and I want to become beautiful. I'm not successful and I want to become successful. Therefore, my life is a process of becoming something. Means you have your goal, your ambition to become something. The will to be is the will to become. Understand not? That's why bawa tangha, craving to be, is to become something. Understand not? Not like what they explain to you in the text. No? Craving to be is to become a living being. Then craving not to be is commit suicide. Hey, not that one. You all always heard that translation, that meaning, vibawa tangha, craving not to be, they want to die. Actually, it's no. Craving not to be means not to become that position. The CEO position or the CIO position that you want. Or even some of the actor and actress, when they become very famous, they realize they lost their life. The reporter every time after them, and the social media every time after them, so they realize they don't want to become that. So craving not to be, so to be is to become, not to be is not to become that one. Understand? Then Krishnamurti say, therefore my life is a process of becoming something. The will to be is the will to become at different level of consciousness. Understand not? As you grow older, as you become wiser, you have different craving. Understand not? Initially, maybe before you know the Dhamma, what happened? You want to be successful. Materialistic life to you is very important. Then after you become successful, you still find that you are not happy. Then you still cannot confront OA, sickness and death. Then you still cannot overcome relationship problem. Then you realize there are still a lot of things that materialistic success and wealth does not provide for you. It cannot give you any solution, like the First Noble Truth Reality. Then what happened? Then you come up with another idea. I want to meditate to become enlightened so that I can be free of all this. Then you spend your life struggling and doing all the funny meditation without understanding. Then what happened? Finally, you met a guru that tell you no need to strive. No need to become. Just silence, sit. Then you awaken. Then you realize, you mean what I've been doing all these years is wasted? Because you don't understand. So this is what Krishnamurti is trying to tell you. Is it? The will to be is the will to become at different level of consciousness. Understand? But the moment you are awakened, then you realize actually it's so simple. It's because of delusion, stupidity. That's why living beings become like that. That's why to the wise one, they say, the human being always do the opposite of the truth or the reality. Whatever they think, it is I used that word, what was it already? Logical. Whatever that living being thinks is logical is always the opposite of the truth or the reality. Understand? Like I say, isn't it? It's logical to meditate, isn't it? Because I want to meditate to become enlightened, isn't it? Correct or not? So, I want to meditate. Understand? So what happened? I want that becoming, that craving to become enlightened. That is the driving force towards the meditation. Understand? Then how he meditate? There must be a meditator. Logical or not? Otherwise, how to meditate? Who meditate? Then who enlightened? Again, the logic is there. So they continue with that logic. They will get trapped. The Buddha already say, anatta, he no you, he no me, inside there. Yeah. Everything is just condition arising, dependent originating. Why you still have that egoic mind, that delusion to think that there is a being inside there to meditate and to become enlightened? Why can't you awaken to that reality? But you have to sit silent to realize that. Not to be actively projecting the thought and doing all this funny thing. That's why thought-based meditation is doomed to fail. It will never awaken you. And this part is very important. That's why Krishnamurti said, the will to be is the will to become at different level of consciousness in different states in which there is challenge, respond, naming and recording. Recording through memory. I have become different already. I am now what already? Now this becoming is strife. It's a constant struggle. This becoming is pain. Is it not? It is a constant struggle. I am this and I want to become that. So the Sakkaya Ditthi is what? There is no I, understand? He no you, he no me. When there is no I, there is no craving to become another thing, understand? Well, all these are dependent originating, form and mind, not real. That's why you make full use of this to live life, to develop the understanding of life, to cultivate, to perfect your nature. So that every line you come, you understand that this form and mind is not you, karmically conditioned out for you to use as a vehicle and a tool. That's why you have to awaken to this. But Krishnamurti never teach you all this because he don't have the Dhamma. He only can tell you don't allow the thought to delude you, to create further becoming. He say just accept what is. Yeah. Then don't condemn, don't react, don't struggle. Then finally, he said, the timeless or the eternal, which is the enlightenment, will come about on its own. You try to look for it, you can never find. Eh? You remember the earlier quote? Eh? The earlier quote you still have or not? Eh? Quiet mind, simple mind, you still have it there. Eh? This one is very clear, I read to you. Huh? May you got that good? Ah, I read. Oh, your voice is clearer. You read. Quiet mind, simple mind. Start with that title.
Quiet mind, simple mind. When we are aware of ourselves, it's not the whole movement of living away of uncovering the me, the ego, the self. The self is a very complex process that can be uncovered only in relationship, in our daily activities, in the way we talk, the way we judge, calculate, the way we condemn others and ourselves. All that reveals the conditioned state of our own thinking, and is it not important to be aware of this whole process? It is only through awareness of what is true from moment to moment that there is discovery of the timeless, the eternal. Without self-knowledge, the eternal cannot be. When we do not know ourselves, the eternal becomes a mere word, a mere symbol, a speculation, a dogma, a belief, an illusion to which the mind can escape.
Okay, stop there. So now you understand. Krishnamurti wants you to start with the silent awareness. That's why you need to understand clearly who you are, what you are through that silent mind. So that's why he talked about self-knowledge. how the activity of self, the ego, the personality arise. So unless you understand that, then the eternal, which is the timeless, they can never come about. So he said, it is only through awareness of what is, means the truth, the reality, from moment to moment, that there is discovery of the timeless and the eternal. Then you read on. May you read on.
But if one begins to understand the me in all its various activities from day to day, then in that very understanding, without any effort, the nameless, the timeless comes into being. But the timeless is not a reward for self-knowledge. That which is eternal cannot be sought after. The mind cannot acquire it. It comes into being when the mind is quiet, and the mind can be quiet only when it is simple, when there is no longer storing up, condemning, judging, weighing. It is only the simple mind that can understand the real, not the mind that is full of words, knowledge, information. The mind that analyzes, calculates, is not a simple mind.
So now you understand. That's why, in short, a simple mind is the mind that doesn't have craving or becoming. Understand? So this second paragraph make it very clear. Krishnamurti said, but if one begins to understand the me, which is the five aggregate of form and mind, in its various activity from day to day, which is the daily mindfulness, then in that very understanding, see, without any effort. What is effort? Effort is a will, a desire, a craving, a mind, understand not? That's why there must be no meditator, no craving, no desire. Then the nameless, the timeless, come into being, automatic, when there is no more craving, when there is the understanding of what is, then you can accept what is. That's why he come to the understanding. Think also like that, don't think also like that. And then, stop thinking. You can only do that when your spiritual faculty is very stable, when you got no more ignorance, no more self-delusion. That's why finally he can realize, because his mind is like that. But he don't have the Dhamma to explain to you. But what he's scared is, if he teach you the Dhamma, which I think to him is very dangerous, you will start to go and analyze the Dhamma. Then think, oh, the Buddha say this, Brother Teo say this, I must have no becoming, no craving. And then you meditate not to have craving. You meditate not to become anything. Then you blank your mind. That is not meditation. Meditation is to stabilize the mindfulness so that in the midst of life, you are aware, you are awake. Then you can see the activity of the self. Then you can insight into phenomena. Then you can understand its universal characteristic. All this Krishnamurti didn't teach. Because to him, he already understand all this deluded. No point. Becoming, thinking, naming, all useless. Understand? That's why the Buddha actually, he taught the same Dhamma. But he created it in such a stable structure so that you can understand it very clearly. But you must not crave for that teaching. You must read and investigate into it. Develop the clear understanding. Don't believe what the Buddha tell you. Now then you won't get yourself entangled. Then you won't get yourself like deluded by what the words, the knowledge tells you. Then you can actually cultivate to develop the silent mind on your own. So this understanding is very important. I will read it once more. But if one begins to understand the me in all its various activity from day to day, then in that very understanding, without any effort, the nameless and the timeless come into being. Then the next one is very good. But the timeless is not a reward for self-knowledge, understand not? So it's not like people say, I meditate. Then when I awaken, the timeless will appear. No such thing. If you meditate, the ego is there, you can never awaken. Then how can the timeless be there? But if you don't meditate, if there's nobody inside there, you just silent, relax, and just aware, no craving, then the timeless appear. It's the opposite, where you don't look for anything. Now you understand why I say when you meditate, don't try to know. Huh? Who is trying to know? The thought is trying to know. Know what? Whether I meditate correctly or not. Correct or not? Whether is this jhana, is this jnana, is this what the Buddha said, anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Then you are gone. Because you try to know, and what is knowing? Knowledge. You cannot silence. That's why the timeless can never come. It will only come when there is no craving. Means what? When the form and mind cease. That's why cessation of form and mind leads to awakening, which is Nibbana. When the mind is active, there is no Nibbana. When there is sakyadity, self-delusion, the ego is active. The thought is active. That's why it can never cease. So meditation is the complete opposite. Then we read on. But the timeless is not a reward for self-knowledge. That which is eternal cannot be sought after. See? If you crave for it, it can never arise. If you try to look for it, it can never arise. If you want to meditate and become enlightened, then see it also can arise. When the you, the I, is not there, when there is nobody meditating, when there is only the nature in silence, in stillness, in the state of awareness, then that quiet, simple mind will realize it. It will come into being. Yeah. So this part is very beautiful. That which is eternal cannot be sought after. The mind cannot acquire it. Means you cannot use thought, understand? It comes into being when the mind is, the first criteria is what? Quiet. And the mind can only be quiet when it is simple. Simple means what? When it is no longer storing up, means accumulating, condemning, judging, weighing, advantage or not. It is only the simple mind that can understand the real. Not the mind that is full of words, knowledge and information. Not the mind that analyzes, calculates. These are not a simple mind. So in short, the final summary is a simple mind is a mind that doesn't have craving to become anything. A mind that is not deluded. That is a simple mind. Like the baby, he doesn't know who he is. Newborn baby. No identity. But the mind is in that state. But if you are a newborn baby without all the memory and the conditioning, then no use. Understand? That's why a lot of people, they fail to understand. They want to behave like a child. Very naive, very simple, non-deceiving. That one is trying to become like a child, again becoming. Anasana. So how can you meditate like that? Anasana? That's why you don't go and listen, then try to realize that state. That is all becoming. You have to understand the real meditation is just relax and aware. That's why the four support at the whiteboard. Look, relax, aware. Don't try to know. Then maintain it. Then you understand. In that silence, in the midst of life, that daily mindfulness, that is the one that understands the activity of the I and the me. That is the one that can unfold the five aggregate of form and mind. That is the one that can show you through wrong view, through delusion, how you grasp and cling and hold through sakyadity, self-delusion. So the teaching is there. So with the teaching, the essential teaching, the essential Dhamma, actually you can realize this very fast. But you don't go and cling to it as knowledge, understand? Then don't go and deludedly look for it, understand? Crave for it, desire for it. You have to understand most important is there is nobody inside there to meditate. That's why I don't try to do anything. Just relax and silent and aware. You need to decondition the heedless thinking. You need to train that mundane mind which is deluded. Train. After that, relax and just the four support. Relax, aware. Then maintain that silence. In the form of meditation and in daily mindfulness. Then trust. Allow the nature to do it. Don't interfere with the thought. When the thought is active, the ego is there. And when the ego is there, the craving is there. And when craving is there, the becoming is there. Because that craving wants this entity to become something. And this is very common among humanity. Then the question is what? Can't we have ambition? Can't we have craving to become something? To become successful? What is your answer? You remember the Heart Sutta, the Diamond Sutta or not? What did the fifth patriarch tell the sixth patriarch? Diamond Sutta. No, sixth patriarch perform Sutta. He went to the fifth patriarch, remember? After the poem, the fifth patriarch came and knocked on the pestle 3 times. Then, middle of the night, he went and see the fifth patriarch. Then when he read that part to him, he come to great awakening. That is the answer. What is that part? I cannot remember. Get the Heart Sutta book and read to you again. Then hopefully you can recall. That one is a very powerful one. And that is the one that actually liberates everybody. That's why Hui Ning straight away become greatly awakened. Correct. That was the first part. That was the first part Hui Ning described. He said, how amazing that this self-nature is already complete on its own. Understand? Huh? No need to do anything. Then there is another part. After the fifth patriarch explained to him, he became really enlightened. And this is what the question I asked you just now. Is there anything wrong to have ambition? Is ambition a craving? Like you have ambition, or you aspire to become an engineer, let's say, when you grew up, or to become a doctor, or to become a very selfish politician. Because life, you have to live, isn't it? You have to have ambition, isn't it? You have to work towards something, isn't it? But that part is the form of mind, understand? Understand? That's why Hui Ning become greatly enlightened. When the fifth patriarch told him, he said, you have to understand this mind. When you understand this mind, you will know how to use it and yet not deluded by it. You will not attach to it. So then he came to great awakening. That is because within the existential world, the conditioned world, there is a form of mind. Understand not? And that one, even though it's unreal, impermanent, just moment to moment, it will come, arise and pass away. But there is such thing as life, understand not? That's why in true emptiness, when you realize the true emptiness, the true mind, you will come to understand life. Then life becomes wonderful. Understand not? I read to you, then you understand. This part, I remember quite a number of Kayanamita when I shared with them, or when I read it through the Wu Ping Ching class and the Heart Sutta class. They were listening so attentively because there is so much joy. You don't have that book, never mind. Huh? I will read to you. The Six Patria Platform Sutta. Based on his poem, then Sensu has yet to realize the true mind, hence his inability to comprehend the higher Dhamma as realized by Huining. The reason being, he is using the mundane mind to cultivate, hence the delusion. In my second and third Heart Sutta classes recap, I delve with it in more detail. I delve in more detail into Huining's Platform Sutta, and I also taught you how to see form. The unreality of form is conditioned arising or impermanent nature, and is non-self or empty nature, so as to enable you to develop the wisdom to finally see beyond form. This is then followed by the same understanding that all of the four aggregates of mind, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, are also impermanent, causes suffering, and are empty. Only then can you start to develop the understanding of why form is emptiness and emptiness is form. This part is just for sharing. I think the actual Platform Sutta is the page before. Ah, yes. Okay, I will read to you this one. Knowing what the fifth patria meant, in the middle of the third watch, Huining went to the fifth patria room. Ah, now you listen. The night master Hongren, which is the fifth patria, received Huining in his abode and expounded the Diamond Sutta to him. When he came to the passage, to use the mind, yet be free from any attachment and delusion. Understand? Understand? What is that mind? That mind is the mundane mind and the true mind. Both, you must understand them and you must use them without attachment. Because this five aggregate of form and mind, which is the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, is a tool for you to live life. So don't be deluded by it. It's not you. Don't attach. Don't cling. So that's why this part, he said, when he came to the passage to use the mind yet be free from any attachment, Huining came to great enlightenment that all Dhammas are inseparable from the self nature. See, he straight away came to great enlightenment. That he knew the two minds, understand? But he needs somebody to tell him how to use it, understand? That's why he say, use, don't be afraid, understand? Got good food, eat, understand? Don't be so deluded, oh, I'm a cultivator, no, I must not have craving, no, I cannot have good food, no, that is craving. Then you don't eat, you pass to me, understand? Craving is about understanding. If the mundane mind is not deluded, then you can use it to live life, understand or not? You can have ambition to become whatever, but the ambition has to come from understanding, understand or not? Understanding means what? There are nature's law that governs life and existence. Yeah, I want to become an engineer, I work towards it. I study. I don't go and buy the degree, understand or not? Then it can be like the UMNO building in Penang. That one I think got degree, Young engineer, is a young graduate. The whole cantilever just collapsed like that. Then the professional engineer who signed the drawing also get into trouble. And he dare to tell the panel that interviewed them. He said, I didn't check, I just signed. that like that also can put our profession to real great shame. How can you do that type of thing? If he is a young graduate, you better check. You're supposed to train him and guide him. So all this, you have to be very careful, very tactful. Then when you understand that there are nature's law that governs life and existence, then you follow that law. Means you don't violate this nature's law. Then when you be yeah, become the engineer. You are not deluded by it. Understand? Huh? Understand? Huh? This form and mind become engineer. So what? After it has awakened, this form and mind is enlightened. Yes, but it's not you. Understand? Huh? That's why it's not deluded by it. Understand? Huh? Can follow? Huh? Then you know what Hui Ning say after that. He exclaimed, "How amazing that the self nature is originally pure! How amazing that the self nature is unborn and undying, because it's unborn. That's why it never grow old, never get sick, and it never die." Then he said, "How amazing that the self nature is inherently complete. Means what? Don't have to do anything. Don't have to meditate. Don't have to arise any effort. Understand? It's already that state. Understand? Because you deludedly use the mundane mind to try to meditate. Understand? As long as the mundane mind is active, the true mind cannot arise. Understand? That's why I say you have to relax and silent until you can touch that nature. Understand? That is meditation. Not go and meditate and do this, not this, not that. Go into energy field and do all the funny thing and hope to reach there. As long as the thought is active, you can never touch that thing. You can never realize that thing. That's why energy field is all within the field of thought. You can never break free. So this part is very important. Then Hui Ning continue. How amazing that the cell nature neither move nor stay. See? That's what I told you what. That nature cannot come out and live life. You remember? Remember? Because it cannot talk. It got no word. Understand? Or? It's just aware. That's why this one can see things as they are. There is no word. No conditioning. Nothing. All the word conditioning and the knowledge come from your? From your what? Your brain, understand? Your brain that condition you to create thought through respond to memory. That's how your mundane mind has all this conditioning. And this one is your mundane mind, understand? This one is not your true. The true mind got nothing. That's why it cannot be deluded. There is no conditioning. That's why it can see things as they are. No word, no concept. It can see truth, the reality, what is. That's why it doesn't describe anything. That's why Krishnamurti say no word. Understand? Huh? So the whole teaching is the same, but people cannot understand. People say, how can Krishnamurti teaching is the Buddha's teaching? No noble, four noble truth, no noble eightfold path. Huh? Then Buddha got right effort, he say effortless. All this. Because you cannot understand. That's why you have all this apparent conflict. Then they say, don't know why Krishnamurti is trying to talk. But he happened to be the real one. No? You use your mundane mind with all the knowledge trying to say his teaching is wrong. No? So that type of karma, you better be careful. That's why when you don't understand, you cannot understand. Don't simply comment. They can use different words, but their wisdom is very high. They penetrated the same truth. That's why they can awaken and use word to express it. Yeah. Then this part is very important. He said, how amazing that the self nature neither move or stay. Huh? So now you know, huh? Because there is no mind, no movement. It's just that pure awareness, that nature. Then he said, how amazing that all dhammas come from this self nature, this true nature, or this original nature. You know why or not? You know why or not? All dhamma come from this one. Because from this pure awareness, the mundane mind come about. The conditioned arising mind come about. You remember last time I used to ask you that question, the green book? Who are you? What are you? If the five degree of form and mind, nama, rupa, are not you, means vedana, sanya, sankara, vinyana, and the form are not you, Then who are you? What are you? Then how come they arise in you? Then I ask you to go back and reflect and contemplate. How does it arise in you? If they are not you, then how come it arise in you? Every moment, every instant. Huh? This five aggregate of forming mind, the mental one, if they are not you, because they are impermanent, they come and go. If they are not you, how come they constantly arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? This five aggregate of forming mind come from where? Like the Buddha say, dependent, originating. Understand or not? But without this self nature, this true nature, that dependent origination cannot function. Understand or not? That's why this five aggregate of form in mind, listen again, is a byproduct of this true nature. Understand or not? Without this true nature, there is no mundane mind. That's why the Buddha said, the mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. And how did this mind arise? Through this pure awareness, consciousness, you input the content, understand not? Then it becomes that mundane mind, understand not? That condition arising mind, because you have the senses, understand not? That consciousness upon contact trigger off, understand not? Then when it trigger off because of wrong view, delusion, the content of consciousness that went in created the five aggregate of forming mind. That's why it's a byproduct of that self nature, that true nature. It's not real. That's why it's impermanent. It's dependent originating, come and go. There is no permanent unchanging entity that you can call a soul or a self that is inside there responsible for thinking, responsible for your feeling, responsible for making you conscious. No such thing. Everything is just nature's law, dependent originating. So this one is a very important understanding, and with this understanding you can actually progress very fast. Then Master Hongren To Huining, if one recognizes the true mind, or the original mind, or the original nature, he is called a great man, teacher of man and God, and he is a Buddha. Then he passed the rope and arms bowl as a symbol of the Dhamma seal of the sudden enlightenment to Huining. That's how Huining inherited the six patriarchship. So simple, I read to you already, so you also awaken. You go back and read and reflect and contemplate, because this one is very powerful. I suddenly turn to this page. Well, it's meant to be. Really meant to be. You listen. Sati or mindfulness, which is the page 75 of Heart Sutta, just in case you all cannot remember. Sati or mindfulness, which is the first factor of enlightenment and most important spiritual faculty, is very important. Because without sati, there is no heedfulness. And without heedfulness, there is no spiritual life. Without sati, one cannot investigate the Dhamma, which is the second factor of enlightenment, to strengthen one's faith and virya. One must investigate into the following important Dhammapada verse. Verse 1, 2, 21, 22, 23, and 183, and confirm that this truth stands up to investigation, thereby establishing our faith in the law of karma, as explained by the Buddha, to reaffirm our right view with regards to this law of karma. Then the Buddha said, all of sankhara, or mental activity, inclusive of all your feelings and perception, they are all impermanent, for they arise and pass away constantly, and they are in a state of continuous flux. Thought activity also come and go, arise and pass away, is birth and death, appearing and disappearing, exhibiting the characteristics of impermanence constantly. With wisdom within, one sees it clearly. Whereas the mundane mind without wisdom is very heedless. So, the direct seeing is from the true mind. Yeah? So when there is wisdom, there is direct seeing. Then my teacher used to tell me, finally there is only pure awareness, which is the true mind. Thus I came to realize later, when the rather gross mundane or thinking mind collapsed, leading to the true mind, which is just pure awareness and silent within. It is very fine, and like no mind, it is like the pure nature or awareness just shine forth when the mundane or thinking mind is no more. But there is such thing as life, even though it is only within the moment. As we have established earlier on, the past is already gone, hence it's not a reality anymore. Similarly, the future has yet to come or happen. So it is also not a reality. Hence, the only reality in existence is only the present moment. And moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Every thought just arises and passes away very quickly. So as real as can be, is only within the moment when it arises. After that, it's gone, dead and gone. So do wake up and do not dream anymore. The phenomenal world of consciousness is not what you think. As long as you are not deluded to grasp and cling, then you are okay. And you won't be afflicted. So don't hold, don't grasp, don't cling or attach or crave to anything, even through memory. Then you will be free and peaceful always, without delusion or ignorance. You are beautiful. When you can see things as they are, then you will not be deluded by them. The form and mind will be clear to you. Then there will be no more entanglement to cause you any more mental suffering. The reason being, the mind has awakened to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, anatta, hence no longer gullible. With heedfulness well established, the mind is constantly aware of all your mental movement and intention. You will come to know how you are conditioned into negativity via your mind's delusion that condition you to grasp and cling onto your five aggregate of form and mind as the I, the me, and the mind. You will also come to know how your likes and dislikes come to be via your reaction to what you see and perceive at the moment of sense experience when you lack wisdom or yoniso manasikara, which is wise attention at the moment of sense experience. You will come to experience all of the Four Noble Truths, the dependent origination or dwelling, and how your mind functions via witnessing the dwelling occurring within your mind. Always be aware within and determine the ability to use the trained mind in heedfulness to cultivate the penetrative wisdom born of the direct seeing, to clearly awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta, to liberate your mind. You will come to witness all your feelings arising and passing away like a bubble. All of your perception, activity of mind, and mental consciousness also exhibit the same characteristics or impermanent, leading to your ability to realize the anatta nature within all phenomena. Yeah. So this part is very important. Huh? Mm. Then the rest you read on. Huh? Okay. Oh, 10:30 already. Oh, so today don't have time for Diamond Sutta. Huh? You got any question or? Huh? Any question? So far, can understand, can comprehend. So today one I think is more important. Hopefully, with these two Krishnamurti quote together with the explanation, you go back, reflect, contemplate, and write it down. Then you understand clearly what this teaching is all about, then you will know how to meditate. Then you will not become like before, so gullible. Then after this, you will progress very fast with this understanding. Actually, that was how I meditate 20, 30 years ago. Because when I understood what this thing is, I just relax silent. Then I realize everything falls into place. That's why I can tell you how to do it and all those things. My teacher never explained all this to me. He just tell me, finally, it's just pure awareness. That I don't even know what she's trying to tell me. At that time, my sati is very good, but my mandate, my heaven collapsed. That's why I cannot understand what she say. But roughly, my nature knew what she said is true. Because the nature can understand. So a lot of things in meditation, you have to awaken yourself, realize yourself. And the awakening comes from the direct seeing. It's a wisdom, it's an understanding. Krishnamurti called it intelligence. But intelligence is not the knowledge type. He called it the intelligence, means a type of wisdom. Okay? Anybody wants to share anything or ask any question? Maybe we can have one. Or don't have. Miss or understood. Very good. So today you don't worry. Show recorded. We've got two recorders here. Sure, no problem. Okay, you don't have any question, then maybe we will do the sharing of merits, transform merits. Then after that, you can make your aspiration. Okay, sharing of the merits, Siddha Devas. Akasata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share this merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta watta cham ehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Dang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will chant the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampatihito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.
Yeah.